Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life. Hi everyone, so today I want to tell this interesting story of this woman called Viola Luiso. So Viola was born on April 11th, 1925, and she was from California, Pennsylvania. She was the daughter of Eva Wilson, a teacher, and Heber Ernest Gregg, a coal miner and World War I veteran. She moved to Michigan as a teenager, then later to Detroit with her second husband, James Luiso, who's an official with the Teamsters Union, and she ended up having five children. So she had two daughters from a previous 7-year marriage called Penny and Mary, and then she had three children with James called Anthony Jr., Thomas, and Sally. And in the 1960s, around 1960, during this time, in Detroit, tensions between whites and blacks were very high, and she was a witness to that. She was a high school dropout, and Viola returned to school to train as a medical laboratory assistant. And she then enrolled at Wayne State University in 1963, and she graduated with top honors. And then she then became a member of the Detroit chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. Viola was inspired to march with a group led by Martin Luther King, who was inspired by many things. So one was possibly by Bloody Sunday, which was March 7, 1965, which occurred in Selma, in which 600 civil rights supporters attempted to march from Selma to Montgomery along Highway 80. And the group barely got there or started when they were attacked by state and local police officers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge using clubs and tear gas. Also, another thing that would have inspired Viola probably is that her family was very poor when she was growing up. They lived in one-room shacks with no running water. The schools Viola attended didn't have very good educational supplies. The teachers were too busy to give extra attention to children in need. The family moved often, so Viola never really began and ended the school year in the same place, hence when she dropped out. And she spent much of her childhood and adolescence in Tennessee, and she would have experienced the segregated nature of the South and saw this firsthand. She was a bit of an impulsive character. She married at 16, she had it annulled the next day. But later on in the 60s, her best friend was Sarah Evans, and they met at a grocery store where Viola worked as a cashier, and the two kept in touch. And Sarah eventually became Viola's housekeeper while still maintaining a close, friendly relationship in which they shared similar views, including support for the civil rights movement. So Viola left her family in Detroit in 1965. To drive to Alabama to march with Martin Luther King to help the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, as they were aiming to register African-American voters in Selma. And her family did object to this. They thought it would be dangerous. Her husband said to her, "It isn't your fight." And she replied, "It's everybody's fight." Her daughter Penny told her, "You know, I'm never going to see you again. I just know I feel it. Please let me go in your place. I'll go." But Viola replied, "I'm tired of sitting here watching people get beat up." So she was there a week. When, after shuttling weary marchers from Montgomery to Selma in her 1963 Oldsmobile with volunteer Leroy Moton, he was 19 and he was also marching as well, a car full of Klansmen spied Viola and her black male passenger, and they followed her, and she wasn't able to evade them, so the car overtook her and the men fired into the car, and Viola was struck twice in the head, and she was covered in blood, and so was Leroy. So Leroy played dead, and he later testified against the killers, three of whom were eventually sentenced to prison. So the only white woman killed in the civil rights movement was Viola, and she was awarded the Fred L. Shuttlesworth Award in November 2017 from the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute on its 25th anniversary. So the following day after Viola's death, President Lyndon B. Johnson appeared on television to announce that Viola's killers had been caught. And the police arrested four members of the Ku Klux Klan for the killing. So that was Eugene Thomas, 43, William Eaton, 41, Collie Leroy Wilkins, Jr., 21, and Thomas Rowe, Jr., 34, who was later revealed to be an FBI informant. So due to one of them being named as an FBI informant, hours after Viola's death, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover began a smear campaign against Viola to divert attention from that fact. So Viola's family endured a lot J. Edgar Hoover argued that cuts on her arm from the car's shattered window indicated recent drug use. She said her proximity to Leroy resembled a necking party. An autopsy revealed that no trace of her drugs in her system, but they said that she was a bad wife, a bad mother, even though her husband was involved in organized crime. The FBI leaked this misinformation to the press, which soon began writing stories questioning Viola's mental health. She had once suffered a nervous breakdown and her morality, and Anthony found himself defending his wife's character to newspaper reporters. Viola's family would only discover what the FBI had done years later, after obtaining documents under the Freedom of Information Act. So at the time, Michigan Governor George Romney visited with Viola's family after the murder, and on March 30th, 1965, roughly 350 people attended Viola's funeral in Detroit, including Martin Luther King. So onto the trial, an all-white, all-male jury acquitted all four men of Viola's murder, but they were tried again under different charges, and their trial was moved to a different jurisdiction, and three were sentenced to 10 years in prison for violating Viola's civil rights. And the fourth was not convicted after being granted immunity, and that was Thomas Rowe Jr. So Eugene and Collie were sentenced to 10 years in prison, and William died before his sentencing. Thomas had immunity from prosecution, as I said, and he went into the witness protection program. And he was actually later named as the shooter by Eugene and Collie, and he was indicted on murder charges, but they got a plea, you know, immunity deal. So it's dismissed. So in December 2017, her daughter Mary Lilbo, now 69 years old, told the Washington Post her mother was not a martyr, but a wonderful human being who loved every living creature. She said, I quote, "If mum saw a wrong, she took action. So when a neighbor's house burned down one Christmas Eve, her mother pounded on the door of a toy store's owner's home, insisting he open his shop so she could buy presents for the displaced family." And as we said, Sarah Evans, she was the black restaurant worker who was her best friend, and Viola asked her to care for her kids if anything happened to her. So after Viola's death, Sarah did become the children's second mother, especially when the dad was quite devastated, obviously, by his wife's murder, and he drank a lot of alcohol, or he sometimes retreated. What's even more devastating is after Viola's death, the family still suffered death threats, a cross burn on their lawn less than 2 weeks after her death, and shots fired into their home. Their father finally hired armed guards to protect them. A seventh grade counselor smacked Viola's son, Tony, upside the head for lagging behind in school, shouting, "Your mother's been dead long enough." Unsurprisingly, Anthony Jr. and Tommy, who were 13 and 10 at the time, later dropped out of high school. So when Viola's other daughter, Sally, had her first day back to first grade after Viola's death, she'd worn her favorite just polished white saddle shoes, and it was pouring rain, and Sally remembers the street line with adults throwing rocks and shouting "N lover's daughter" at her. Also, a Ladies' Home Journal magazine survey taken right after Viola's death asks its readers what kind of woman would leave her family for a civil rights demonstration. And the magazine suggested that she had brought death on herself by leaving home, and 55% of its readers agreed. However, the family were invited by Martin Luther King and later his wife Coretta to spend Christmas with them for years after Viola's passing. And before Viola's funeral, Martin told Sally, "One day you'll understand your mum was a hero." Anthony Luisa Jr. in 1975 filed a $2 million lawsuit against the FBI on behalf of himself and his siblings for the agency's complicity in his mother's death. During the trial, the FBI admitted that it had shredded 10,000 pages of documents connected to Viola's murder. Still, the FBI won. In 1983, a federal judge threw out the lawsuit and ordered the family to pay the government $80,000 in court costs. Then the judge later changed that demand to $3,645. After the television show 2020 did a report on the trial, and people became outraged at the judge's order. Her legacy continues, and it's believed that Viola's death helped encourage legislators to pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So I would like to quote the following articles and sources that I use, which is WashingtonPost.com, Edition.CNN.com, Biography.com, and Wikipedia.com.
Get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode will be on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Black British Girl Talks. And as always, if you have any questions, DM on Instagram. Until next time, goodbye.